Hi, I'm Lauren Edmonds. I'm the founder and owner of a school that supports children with learning delays. I'm hoping the space gives you something to think about.
I'm going to talk to teachers in this particular podcast, though it is relevant for parents as well to hear where we are in terms of the narrative around teaching and what's happening in the classroom. And there's a lot of talk about how big classrooms are getting, that private schools are sitting at about 25 kids. Remedial special needs, small schools are perhaps sitting at around 10 kids, but your larger government schools are sitting at around 45 children. Now, I've done a bit of work with the LEGO Foundation, and they go up into Africa and take their work up into other countries and other schools. And chatting to one of their facilitators recently, they were at a school where they've got 196 students in one room, one classroom, with one teacher and no windows, and they're making it work. And if I think about that scenario and how they could be making it work, is it's got to be that the teacher is not the only one facilitating and in charge. And that doesn't mean to say that they've made children in charge or they've brought in assistants. There's only one adult in the room. But what I imagine, because I can see it in my environment as well, is teachers are teaching children in a way that brings them and their accountability to the table as much as the teacher is sitting at the table being accountable. There's no way a teacher can effectively teach 196 students when the students aren't also themselves bought into the teaching process or the learning process. So when we look at 45 kids in a class or 25 kids in a class, or an inclusive environment where the children have very specific special needs, different needs, and 10 kids in a class, the teacher cannot do it alone. She has to do it with buy-in from the children. And this buy-in comes from, I believe, the teacher's attitude towards learning and towards the children and how she or what she sees her role as being. And it's much less about command and control and much more about collaboration. Because when we can collaborate with people, we draw them into the process and they are as much of a stakeholder as we are. And they lean into the outcomes we're trying to achieve as much as we lean in. So we are no longer fighting against them in order to gain control. We're giving up control in order to gain participation, inclusion, and learning, accountability. And when we do that, and we can do it as young as 6 years old, perhaps even younger, when we do that with our students, when we view them as integral in terms of the community or the learning community, and we place accountability for learning equally amongst us all, not necessarily equally in terms of everybody gets 5%, but what people can bear, and we build those skills of accountability and responsibility, then we create powerful learners that don't need teachers in order to learn. They can become autodidactic. And in that process, they become masters of their own destiny. And that's ultimately what we want. And it's ultimately what fits the generation coming through now, is they want to have more autonomy. We're raising them to have more autonomy. But our system is still command and control. Our discipline systems are still punitive. Our goals and our administration and our rating system of teachers is still very much onerous upon the teachers rather than making a collective collaborative experience. And I think teachers can do this and create these environments even within the constraints of their current roles. And parents have to be complicit in this as well. Parents have to send children to school with a narrative in their head that school is important, learning is important, the teacher must be respected and listened to, and that their time at school is precious and remarkable, rather than this thing that a lot of us were brought up with, where, what am I learning this for? It doesn't make any sense. And my teacher is stupid. And what do I go to school for? And if we send children to school with that in their heads, the teacher's got to combat that before they can even try to get the kid to the table. So parents have a real responsibility to raise their children in a way where they understand that respect for themselves and the learning process and the learning systems is paramount to their own success as a child going forward, and that they get out what they put in, and that if they want to put in nothing, they can't sit at the end of the year and cry out that they've got nothing because they put nothing in. And sitting in corporate spaces, I watch how employers are looking for new employees coming into their space that are leaders, that have got strong moral character, strong general character, good values, high integrity, and are willing to work and understand the value of being part of a community in society. So it's a bigger narrative that we're speaking to, but it always goes down to not me trying to change the world in terms of the entire world, but how can I change the world that I have contact with? And I have contact with teachers who have contact with students. And can I make space for those teachers to be in a different space for their students? And can I change the world in that way? So the message to the teachers is, in what ways can you shift control over a period of time where you build in respect and you build in a desire for the children to want to be active participants in their own learning so that you're not trying to control behaviorally 45 kids because they're in charge and they're in control of themselves and it's not left on you. There was a question in a panel interview I had this morning where a grade 11 teacher was saying, how do we combat learned helplessness? And my answer was, let them fail. She shook her head saying, that's not possible. That's not allowed. I can't do that. And while I do agree to some of, well, I agree in terms of if the system is not allowing it and she needs to keep her job, then she must do what she must do. But we need to let children live their proper experience of learning and then give them the tools and the attitude and the guidance and the character in order to overcome the parts that they're failing. And if we can lean into that space rather than driving towards just the mark, which ends up being something that I then have to do for the kid because I can't fail them, they need to pass, and then is it their work anyway? And then the question was also asked, how do we have matriculants that can't read? Well, simple. The system allows children only to fail once every phase, and there's only four phases in education. So they fail four times, they're 21, they're matric, they still can't read. And that's a travesty. I would rather have children fail academically and learn to step it up and fix their mistakes and that hard work matters and that they are part and parcel to their learning and their future, that it's not, they're not relying on the teachers and the parents. They need to rely on themselves. And that gets taught to them by the teachers and parents. And then our work as teachers and parents can shift. We can change how we go about things, because it is too hard to take what we've already got and how we're already doing things and layer something on top of that. We already stressed, stretched, overworked. We need to change, we need to shift it so that we become a catalyst for learning, not necessarily the holders of information and the imparters of information, and not necessarily the people that have to do the discipline. So parents, if you can send children to school regulated, well-fed with good protein, well-rested, and with an attitude of, go get them, tiger. This is an amazing time of your life. You've got this. Take responsibility. If you make a mistake, I can help you out. Your teacher's great. Learn what you can from her. Because the alternative is you're sending kids to school where they are so anti the system, teachers are having to fight that first before they can even get any learning done. And then from a teacher's point of view, sit them around the table equally and go, I trust you. I can build a skill in you. What do you want for yourself? Let me help you get there. And I think we can change an entire generation, an entire system, for an entire generation when it comes to education and their futures, their adult lives, and their employability. It would be amazing.